Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Drunk Women Solving Anxiety.
Oh, not, yeah.
Yes, please. But it's a good eight-letter word, I have to say.
I only know buzzwords, guys. I know buzzwords.
Words have origins in history. The study of words is etymology.
Stupid up, Bob.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. We're really excited that we have this guest with us today. Please welcome lexicographer and etymologist Susie Dent.
Hi, Susie!
Susie announced them both brilliantly.
Thank you. I couldn't sleep last night because I was so afraid I'd say entomologist,
yes,
and then we'd have
fine.
To talk bugs, and it just gets all messy. How are you today, Susie?
I am very well, thank you. I am. I'm not joining you in the alcohol. I don't know if you've all got alcohol there, but I'm drinking a non-alcoholic gin and tonic, which I have to say is a little bit disappointing. But I will do my best to sound and look drunk if it's a prerequisite.
Well, they always say in acting that you should try to act as sober as possible and then you will actually come across drunk. So
okay.
I don't know if this is true or just a rumor,
but it
looks like you're going to do better than all of us because I think we are.
I love that as a tagline, though, for non-alcoholic gin. A little bit disappointing because it is. It doesn't even matter if it tastes incredible.
Do you know what? One or two that are actually good. But we don't have time to get into it now. But I'll email you guys.
No, and they haven't paid us. So I'd rather ask the question. Susie, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes, I have. I don't know how exciting it is, but I lived in the 90s. I lived in Soho. So I just got back from America where I had studied, and got into this fantastic Westminster Council fair rented flat, which was it is a lovely, lovely flat. It's above a newsagent's. It's, I don't know if I can give the exact location, but it's very near Brewer Street, etc. And my old flatmate still lives there.
For non-Londoners, Soho is a neighborhood where you just, it's like nobody lives there. Who lives in Soho? That's impossible.
Yeah.
So this is already exciting, I think.
Yes. And Brewer Street has got, I don't think it's quite the same now, but it's just got this sort of fantastic fresh fruit market, and it is as London as you can possibly get. And I loved it, absolutely loved it, even though I then got a job in Oxford and started to commute to Oxford, but I still...
Oh man, the irony.
I know, stuck to Soho. Anyway, Soho being Soho, again, for non-Londoners, it had particularly then a certain reputation for sex shops and, you know, being fairly down at heel, or a little bit sordid, maybe not down at heel, but sordid.
Yeah, and I remember. Yeah.
So we were right at the top of this building. So below us was this wonderful tailor called Andrew, who I think still works there. And then there was a newsagent. And there was quite a long, steep staircase going up. And came home one day, and the door had been kind of just literally broken down. But this was, it seemed to me, a near impossibility, because it was an incredibly heavy door, and you would have to get a lot of power behind it. And there was no run up apart from very steep stairs. But nonetheless, they got in and we didn't really have anything valuable there at all. But the one creepy thing that did happen is I was out for dinner somewhere. My phone went, and then I picked up and someone hung up. And it turns out that it was actually the burglars calling from the flat to look for my phone. And somehow they'd found my phone number lying around. So that was just a bit weird.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But honestly, for some reason, I was burgled again later in life once I had kids. And that freaked me out a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't feel that there was something about Soho that just made me feel incredibly safe. And because of its reputation, my mum used to really worry, you know, that I was living there. But honestly, it was just the best, loveliest place to live.
A place is kind of like awake all the time. You kind of do feel more safe. It's like, well, somebody's here. It's like, there's something really nice, something very comforting about a place that's open all hours.
Yeah,
I think that's absolutely really true. And while you could just, you know, sit by the windows and look down and people watch for hours and hours.
Amazing.
And hours. That makes me fascinating. Even more intrigued how they bash down a very heavy door that's at the top of really steep stairs with like...
I know. And even the tailors didn't hear anything. I mean, it was really odd, but it had been well and truly hammered down. So it was very odd, and we never got to the bottom of it.
Really? They never found who did it?
Never found who did it. And I kind of wished that I had somehow got into a conversation with whoever it was that called me. I mean, now there's no way that a mobile phone would be remotely interesting because no one could get into it. But in those days, I guess it was, you know.
Well, they'd still resell it. There were no fingerprints on the phone that they must have touched or anything, though. I guess they wiped it all down.
Do you know what? I don't even think the police came around. It was I don't think it kind of really featured on their radar.
You have to, like, back in the day, didn't you have to, like, lock a phone by, like, holding down the hash key and the asterisk at the same time?
That's true. I think it was a little Nokia.
I'd forgotten I knew that. Oh, my God.
That was the length of the security, though, like what you were saying about.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true. Yeah, they could easily have got in.
Wow.
So that's it. Not wildly exciting, but it takes me back to Soho, which was just, you know, as I say, the very best
place. Oh, I was there.
Place.
I think, I find all of our listener crimes interesting. And we've had a lot of people go, I don't know if this is really interesting. We're like, we're so interested.
But like,
just because everybody's had an experience. Sorry, Katie, go ahead.
Oh no, sorry, female weapon. Sorry. It's just that, like, what's interesting to me about this is, like, it was such a happy time for you to be living in Soho that even being burgled is a happy memory.
it's strange.
That's quite amazing.
No, I mean, Tim, my flatmate, is quite kind of big. He's big and brawny, so maybe I just kind of felt safe with him. I genuinely don't know why it didn't freak me out more. I was just, you know, I was young, I was kind of carefree, I was you know, just
that phase of life really does protect you from a lot of existential angst. Like, I look back and I'm like, oh shit, that happened to me and I was all right.
I know. Yeah, it's good to remember those things. It's just I hate the way that all that anxiety creeps in.
Oh, it's so true. That's a whole other podcast that I would happily host, though, because wow.
Drunk women solving anxiety.
Oh, yes, please. God, if we could solve it, we'd be billionaires, guys.
Could you imagine? In one episode, we'll solve it. No, it's not. I mean, it's unlikely.
By getting more and more drunk, probably.
Yeah. It's a temporary solution, but
we've definitely established that that is not the solution.
It's not. It's definitely not.
Susie, it's funny that you say that you always wished you could have spoken with whoever rang you, because we always round out this question by asking if you had the perpetrator or perpetrators here and you can speak to them with impunity, what would you say or what would you ask?
How did you get in would be the first one.
Yes! Solve the mystery.
Yes. I don't know. I think with that one, I don't really have any burning questions apart from that, to be honest. But for the burglars who came to the house, as I say, where I had young kids, I think I would just say, you know, did it not even occur to you how this is going to terrorize children for ages? And it really did, you know, just knowing that there was someone else there. So I think I'd have much more of a soul-searching chat with that person or those people than the Soho people. I mean, we regularly got, you know, there were three doorbells, still are, for the flat. Not just for the flat, but for the building. And we used to get, you know, buzzed at all times of night with people asking if we offered particular services.
Oh, wow.
I kind of set in that context, I suppose, even though I have to say I felt incredibly safe. It was just, it was Soho. It was the 90s. It was, you know.
It was like the standards were like, well, sure. Like,
yes. Interesting as well. Like, do you know how long it was from when you got the phone call? Did you just think, oh, okay, it was just a prank call or whatever?
Yeah.
Because, like, if the door had been open, like, in terms of saying it felt quite
safe. You've got a time frame,
Your front door was obviously open for a bit of time by the time you got home. So it's kind of, it's actually quite nice that you didn't get, like, burgled twice, I guess.
I guess that's true, except it was kind of round a corner. So you'd go up the stairs and then you'd have to go up again and then just turn it so nobody could
see. You'd have to know it was there. The second burglary, were you home when that happened? You were asleep upstairs? So you were out both times?
Yes, at both times. It could have been a lot, lot worse, I have to say. But, you know, everything that everybody says about being burgled and knowing that your stuff has been rifled through and all of that is all very, very true. You just don't know what someone has touched.
It's horrible. It's a real violation.
Yeah, from kids' toys to, you know, everything. Mm. So, so that one affected me a lot more. But I like to remember the Soho one better.
Yeah, the Soho one. Yes.
But I've been reading some of your listeners' stories on Facebook and things, and they're incredible. I love them. there's just one about someone coming in and playing with all of their four-year-old's toys. Did you ever do that one? And then... So they put all the toys away and the four-year-old was having a nap. And when they came back in, all the toys were all over the floor again and there were marker pens on the top. And the four-year-old
I don't think we've done that one. Oh. I mean, I have a listener crime for the end of this episode, but we could switch over to that one if we feel like
That's creepy and amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
Susie, thank you so much for sharing both of those. But here's to the 90s.
Yes.
Right. Cheers.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
We shall now turn our attention to a real true crime case. I've got all the details of it, and we're going to just try to unravel it the best we can. So our case starts with a woman called Bonnie Nettles, who was born and raised in Houston, Texas. She was raised Baptist, although as an adult, she moved away from the religion. Bonnie became a registered nurse and got married in 1949 and had four children.
Do I need to take notes?
No.
No, okay.
You can, but it's absolutely a personal
choice. It's optional. That was a lot of information, though.
Very optional.
Okay.
It was Bobby Skittles, wasn't it?
Bobby Skittles.
Four kids. She's a nurse. It's 1949.
There you go. Bonnie Nettles. In 1972, so she's married for a long time. In 1972, her marriage starts to fall apart because of something that Bonnie begins doing. So your first question is, What was she doing that caused the breakdown of her marriage?
Voting.
Remind me how many kids she had?
Four children. By this time, three of them are still at home and one of them is about 20.
And she starts doing something.
Mm-hmm.
What, is it sleeping like with other men? No. Probably not.
Very logical answer. It's a really outside the box answer. So this is just a let your imagination go wild. Okay. What was Bonnie doing?
Outside the box, you say?
Yeah. Depending on your box. Everybody's got a different box, Katie. Very different boxes.
Does she like go on tour with a band?
No, but I love your creativity. I do.
Cut her toenails for 2 years?
Ooh, that's nice.
That might have also been going on. I can neither confirm nor deny, Susie.
Okay. My boyfriend calls them my talons when I haven't cut them for long. Horrible.
Pandemic talons were very much a thing. Yeah, I really didn't. Toenails just didn't matter at all. Anyway. Yeah,
something. Whenever toenails comes up on Countdown, I just do this kind of inner shudder. There's something about toenails. It's just like, but it's a good eight-letter word, I have to say. Elation. Elation is in there if you've got a singular toenail. That's much nicer.
Ooh, much nicer. My husband is elated when I groom my toenails. See? Put it all together.
Did you say she was born in 49?
She got married in 49.
Married in 49. So we're talking like some years. I don't want to do maths like in front of people that are very clever.
No, it's fine.
Sorry, guys. It's I'm talking about things.
Just vibe it. Just vibe it, Hannah.
I'm going to vibe it. I say like, what? They've been married for...
A while.
And
a good 20 odd years.
Okay, a good 20 odd years. Mm-hmm. And so like...
I'm 23 years.
23 years, so maybe what, is she in her 50s by now? I'm just trying to think, is it education? Did she go and kind of get an education?
Oh,
did
she starts doing night school.
Yeah. Okay.
In maths to work out how you can possibly
subtract 19. How long have I been married? 19. It's impossible to know until I go to night school. Well, you're thinking along the right lines because she certainly had a change of career at this point. Bonnie had started studying astrology and the occult.
Oh.
And
was he
she
born
began
under the wrong star sign?
Perhaps. She began. What is the wrong star sign?
Well,
is there just one?
Do you remember when everyone announced that, oh, everyone's got the wrong star sign because, like,
oh, that's
you know,
right.
Virgo's only 2 days long or whatever.
And no one was
going to. And then everyone was like, oh, that sucks. And they just pretended it didn't happen.
No, we can't. Come on.
We can stick with our original star signs because it's too hard. The truth is,
people think that they're incompatible, don't they? Certain star signs are thought to be incompatible with others.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm incompatible with anyone that sort of like thinks I would possibly be incompatible because of my star sign.
Yeah, someone asked me what my kids' star signs were the other day and I honestly had never ever considered it, not even once, which was weird because I used to read my Scorpio horoscope all the time when I was a teenager. So things have changed. Got in the
background. And see, I had my daughter's first tattoo put on her when she was born. It just says Gemini across her forehead. Because you have to warn people when that's the sign. So she had been studying astrology and the occult, and she began conducting seances in their house, which really started to freak out her pretty run-of-the-mill conservative husband.
Wow.
She also visited a fortune teller who said that she was soon to meet a mysterious man who was tall, with light hair, and a fair complexion.
I love when they visit fortune tellers.
It always leads to great things,
it's
Katie, doesn't
like,
it?
It's always like, what's going to happen?
Good people making great choices. what happens next in Bonnie's life?
Some blonde dude turns up.
You know what? Ding, ding, ding.
I love it when
you naysayers, put your faith into fortune tellers because... A man with light hair and fair complexion. America has so few of those.
Are we in and Texas, yet, did you say?
Houston? We are in Texas. Yeah, we are in Texas.
All right, yeah, there's not very many blonde people in Texas.
No.
So what, he just happens to turn up because he's delivering the shopping or something?
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is That seems to be a disputed bit of information. Some sources said that he was an inpatient in a psych unit and she was the nurse. And worked with him professionally. And then there's much more like innocent thing, because he was a drama teacher and music teacher, and apparently she just ran into him one day. So not sure what the truth is. But the man was called Marshall Applewhite. Bonnie does an astrological reading on Marshall, as you do. What do you think happens as a result of this reading? What does this lead to?
They're super compatible.
Yeah, okay. They're meant for each other.
This is very teenager, like Susie was saying about reading the horoscopes when you're a teenager, which I also was very much more interested in then. And it's like, you know, when you do your name and you do somebody's name and you do like the little sum that you do and it would get the percentage of how compatible you were. It just feels like she's just like a born again 14-year-old.
Do you know what? Oh my God. I've still got some of those in a tin at home, like ones that we did when I was a teenager. With and it was so funny. There was like me and one guy and it was like 98% and my friend had written it like, oh my God. Like, it was just so funny. Just this. She was like, I can't believe it.
So I don't think I never did this. So what sums were you doing then? So this was names, one name above the other.
Yeah, and like there was like a numerical value to the letters.
To each letter. Oh, I see.
And then I can't actually remember how you did it.
Don't get this wrong, Katie, because you could lead any number of our listeners astray with the wrong math.
Yes,
you're right. This is crucial, very highly important stuff. It's like NASA now.
I do like that, like as an idea for like a sketch of a bunch of kind of married women who finally do it with their husbands and realize that. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, this explains everything.
Okay, well, so she finds out that they're really compatible.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys just hit the nail on the head. Who saw that coming after a fortune teller foretold this? They experience a deep spiritual connection and they run off together. Bonnie leaves all of her kids with her husband, fucks off with Marshall. So
I just want to go out there and say Bonnie had some needs that were not being met.
Clearly.
Well, hold that thought, because this is...
Okay, Bonnie has some trauma that should have been addressed a long time ago.
We always side with the women in these cases, Susie, just in case you weren't sure.
You'll probably stick with her a little bit, but here comes the big reveal, if you've never heard either of these names. A couple years later, Bonnie and Marshall start a new, quote-unquote, religious movement.
Okay.
Any idea what religious movement we might be talking about?
So what decade are we talking about now?
70s still.
Yeah, we're still, 74. Okay.
No. Scientology, is it?
Scientology, yeah.
That's a really good guess as well. And you're not far off. I'm always afraid to talk about Scientologists because I truly believe that they just like scan for any reference to them and then they'll just come and get me.
Bleep that out.
That would be funny though, because people could work out who we were talking about if you bleeped what we both said.
Wiccans, like the white witches and Wiccans, that's a thing, isn't it? The occult, but they like do good spells to like, you know, they're in touch with nature. I don't know. I'm basing this on watching True Blood.
No, totally. These are all very plausible guesses. They actually started one of the most notorious cults of the 20th century, Heaven's Gate.
Oh.
Have we heard of Heaven's Gate?
Is this the one with the Kool-Aid or the trainers? I only know buzzwords, guys. I know buzzwords.
I don't know. It is one of those, but I don't know if I want to spoil it by saying which one. But,
not the Waco one. It's not the Waco one,
not
is it?
Waco.
No.
No, those are Branch Davidians.
Okay.
Adorable.
Yeah. Know your cult.
That's impressive.
Know your death cult.
I've heard of Heaven's Gate, but I did think it was on the Central Line, so I might just be thinking of something completely
different. I thought it was a song.
Yes.
Not knocking on Heaven's Gate.
Yeah.
Look, this might seem like a loaded question, but I would ask this during any episode with any guest. Has anyone ever had to look into the etymology of the word cults?
That's brilliant. Okay, so my guess is that this was... There's two possibilities. Either that it was from Latin, which most things are, and so it came to us via French, or that it was German. But I think this is going to be Latin. So let me look. Cult, noun.
Place yes. your bets. So, Latin or French or German?
I think Latin and French go together because okay. it was Latin cultus, which was worship or an act of worship. And that goes back to an ancient root meaning to be or become. So that's a very kind of sacred family. Okay. And then it went via French, and probably because of the Normans, it came over to us as well.
Man.
So there you go.
Okay. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank the dictionary. I'm such a nerd.
Susie Dent, ladies and gentlemen.
I love Honestly, because it is one of those words that we just throw around so much and we use it in jest, and it's like we're all fascinated by cults, but I just thought, yeah, where does it come from? So Latin and French roots.
Yeah, so Latin ultimately, okay. and then went and, via French and then came into English.
And Alrighty. It was devout. It was a devout act of proper worship.
Yes, it was, yeah.
We throw exactly. it around in a much more meaningless way now, don't we? We use it as an exaggeration of... But actually, yeah, okay.
The one thing I could find is that the sort of the more modern meaning of it as devoted attention to a particular person or thing wasn't used till 1829. So it had been used in a more reverent way before then, I guess.
Oh, like
yeah,
also because, sorry. Yes.
No, you go. Fear no workplace. Just giving it new harmony, you know, just trying stuff out.
I'm just looking at the journey of it. Sorry to use that word journey. But yeah, so it says for the Romans, cultus had a wide range of senses. Cultivation, tilling, educational, personal care, style of dress, stylistic elegance.
And we're back to toenails.
State of being refined, devotion, loyalty, and respect. And from there, it came to mean an act of worship. So either worshipping oneself or then worshipping a divine being.
That's interesting.
Intense admiration for a particular person. And then by 1898, you have the cult of personality, a collective obsession with or uncritical admiration for a particular figure.
Did you say 1889?
1898.
Yeah. I had no idea. Amazing. Cult of personality was such an old phrase.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's why I love the dictionary, honestly. Look anything up and you will just think, wow, you know, celeb was around in sort of 1910 or whatever, and cool was around in the 19th century and all of this stuff.
Oh, wow.
I love it.
I love this stuff so much. Aww. I had to write a rap about etymology when I was in the 8th grade, and I bet my friend who I did it with remembers all the words. It was so nerdy. We got it, and I only remember the very beginning. Words have origins in history. The study of words is etymology. And then we told the story of like how mayo was invented, like the chef of mayo. He was royal, and he started to experiment with eggs and oil. And I don't even think that's etymology.
Oh my god!
Anyway,
why
digress.
Why don't you have your own kids' TV show?
I agree.
I want to learn about mayo in rap form.
I love that. Now, kids, we're talking about cults and
Do you know what? Totally different topic, but it's because they had run out of dairy products, and so he tried to make an emulsion out of oil and eggs, and that's when mayo was born.
That's how it came about.
Wow. Anyway. Necessity is the mother of invention.
Let's get back to these cult leaders.
And it comes from Port Mahon, I think, is the idea capital of Menorca, and it was Mahonese, I think. That's one of the theories, anyway. And then Mahonese became mayonnaise or mayonnaise.
Oh
anyway.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I didn't learn to like mayonnaise till I was much older. I'm just throwing that in for no reason. Okay. Marshall and Bonnie changed their names to Do and T, as in Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti.
Huh.
Do, a cult, a female cult. And they tried to entice their first members in 1974 in Oregon. If you're going to start a cult, begin with the hipsters. They hire out a town hall, and almost 100 people come to hear them preach about this new religious movement. Question, what were they promised if they joined this movement? What was the draw of become a member of Heaven's Gate, which was not called Heaven's Gate yet, but that's another thing.
What were they promised, you mean?
What was the promise of the religion?
Free star sign readings.
Well, that they were promised free immediate transport to heaven on death.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, we're right on the
I think it's always interesting, isn't it,
with, right on the right
with cults
there.
And things like this and things that want people to sign up to them. I suppose it's about like asking what people wanted at that time, like in, well, yeah. This is the early 80s by then?
No, it's the 74
we're
still.
We're still
74.
Yeah, okay. almost mid 70s.
They wanted equal rights for a lot of people that were not represented by the media, but I'm not sure that that was on the list of the cult offerings.
This is a very culty time. It's interesting because just politically in the US, think of everything that's happened in the late 60s, like the war is over, so many people are disillusioned, there's an economic crisis, like things are just such a mess. So many people got drawn into this and that, and this better than what we're dealing with. And yeah, I want to be enlightened, I want to be lifted into a different realm.
Because you can't trust the mainstream media, so let's all go and worship Zog or whatever.
Yeah.
Were they promised eternal life?
They were, essentially. Hannah, George, any other advance on this? And then I'll just...
I know what I think, but I can't think of what was happening in the 70s. Could it be monetary? I don't know. Or are they just thinking that they might sort of come out of it in a kind of... Yeah, a little bit more financially stable. I'm not sure that's really what religion does, but...
Well, I guess there's been a big capitalism. So there's all these people going, hey, if I work hard, I might get stuff. But then what about their spiritual needs?
Katie Wilkins, are you saying that neoliberalism is itself a cult? Anyway.
Hey, maybe I am.
Heaven's Gate was basically Christianity.
Space? No.
Did you say what?
Space exploration.
Space exploration.
Oh, my God. Really?
You got it.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Heaven's Gate, Susie, the whole doctrine.
I said they weren't going to heaven. They were going
to space.
To Mars.
The heavens of space.
Space was heaven. So it's basically Christianity crossed with Star Trek.
Okay.
That's Heaven's Gate.
Oh, I can see the appeal of that.
Yes. So the core of the belief system was that the body is just a vessel. They called it a vehicle. God is an alien with an awesome spaceship. And soon the world's going to be ending, and only the members of Heaven's Gate will have their souls taken up to live in God's spaceship as a higher consciousness.
No.
I'm out.
Okay, not in human form then, as a UFO?
Not in human form.
No, as aliens in a UFO, sort
as
of.
Aliens in a UFO. And they taught everyone that when they were lifted up, that their body, their human body, would just dissipate. If they were the chosen ones.
It is, again, like, interesting about what was going on at the time is that they, you know, only 5 years before it's like had gone to the moon, right? So, like, this whole idea of space travel. It kind of feels a little bit more palpable, like, a little bit more like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, this any minute be, now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, I get it, but,
They genuinely took, because they both had Christian backgrounds. She was a Baptist. I think he might have been a Baptist. No, he was a Protestant. Presbyterian? Starts with a P. Anyway, and so they sort of like drew from this Christian theology, but they both were genuinely Star Trek fans. Like that, so much of it wow. came from like this obsession with sci-fi, and they just kind of put this together. So they preached to almost 100 people in this hall. How many of the attendees do you think joined them, left their families, and just took off to be a part of this group?
Well, the thing is, if you've already agreed to say yes to listen to some nut jobs in a hall, your life is not on its perfect track.
Mm.
So I think you're more likely to say yes.
I agree.
Than somebody you're just like door stopping in a shopping mall or whatever.
So and then like, you get this kind of mass hysteria, don't you? Because there were throughout history, there have been lots of kind of mass hysterical events where people would just be manically dancing and just it became kind of infectious.
It's a yeah, sort of like the crowd thing. Pulls you along and stuff.
Yeah. So high percentage, I think.
Okay.
Because it's like that thing of like, they've done those experiments where they've got everybody in a room and, you know, the fire alarm goes off, but they've got actors that don't react to the fire alarm. And if enough people don't react, everyone doesn't want to be the first one to go, we should leave.
Yeah.
So like everybody stays in the room. But like if you don't do that, then someone will be like, hey, but no one wants to be. And like also the bigger the group, no one wants to be the ones. If there's like 5 people, someone will go, hey, we should leave. But if there's 100 people, no one wants to be the one that tells 100 people we should leave.
Yeah. There's also that thing where people, a long row of people are asked what's 2 + 2. And the first 10 people have been told to say 5. And everyone's kind of looking at each other. And then the 11th person also says 5. And so it goes on down the line because no one wants to.
Wow.
It's really scary.
Because they didn't want to make the first 10 people feel like dicks.
Well, no, because they honestly thought
they questioned
were wrong.
Their
it's
own.
Kind of, yeah, it's that sort of mass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also, like,
it's
just
terrifying, isn't it?
That is
it's
terrifying.
Really terrifying.
That I've only just found out it's not 5. That's messed up.
Hannah was right all along.
I would have been like,
oh my God.
I knew it, guys. I fucking knew it. But also, like, I think with fire alarms, I think they almost shouldn't test them because that's the reason people ignore them.
Because they test them too much. It's
like,
crying
like,
wolf.
Yeah, a little bit. I think the less, I mean, maybe I shouldn't advocate for not testing fire alarms, but like, because like, I think I was working in an office that was like,
you were in here first.
But it was like, but it was like every Monday or something, and I just think that's too many times. Like once a week's too many. Mm. Do you know what? I don't stand by any of what I just said. That's
I would love an alarm that actually cries wolf. That'd be great.
Wolf.
So what's the answer? Do we have 20. To come up with an answer? Oh, 20.
No, it's all right. 20 people.
Oh,
so it depends.
20%.
Is that a good percentage? It's considered pretty high just because they drew people in
as sort of a general.
And these are people who left their families. Like there were a few mums that just left, like Bonnie did, just left their kids and went and, ooh, I'm going to become a part of this. They set up shop in Colorado and they're promised that this spaceship will come and take them and their bodies will dissipate. They'll soon be, you know, existing in higher consciousness. And they wait and they wait. And no spaceship comes. So people start dropping off. And which we'll get to what some of their practices were, because unlike a lot of cults, it's kind of refreshing. Like there was one super creepy thing going on that we'll get to, but compared to a lot of other cults, it's like, oh, they were kind of nerds. And they just sat around, talked about all this. But people got bored, so they started to leave. They're like, this isn't happening. And then something happens in 1985, which really shakes the beliefs of the few remaining members. So what would just make them go, well, this can't be?
Is it the film E.T.? No, that's 1982. Wait, but as in it shakes them to be less devout or more devout? It makes them go
less.
Okay, so something
they go,
in 1985,
well, this, what you taught us cannot be true because this has happened.
Oh,
Back to the Future.
I love that it's a movie.
Yeah. Did one of them die?
What happened in 1985?
One of the leads?
Reagan's in charge. Thatcher's in charge. They're killing the mines in Wales. I'm sure they don't care about that in Colorado. What was happening in the world?
Susie, any other thoughts? Just because I don't want to deny you the chance.
No.
1985.
I love when Katie gets obsessed by a year.
I'm just staring at the ceiling and there's no inspiration up there.
Sorry, I'm talking over.
No, I have no idea.
Hannah was right. One of the leaders dies.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Very good.
And someone gets transported.
Exactly. Her body doesn't dissipate and they're all like together in this house.
Busted.
Bonnie dies of cancer and they're all standing there over her body like...
When's it going to happen?
Any minute now. And they're like, it's just a body. Oh, no. Have we been duped for this
long?
Shame on us.
Oh, gosh.
Heaven's Gate dies out at that point until Marshall revives it in the 1990s. We're back to the 90s. How was he able to revive it and recruit new members?
Special effects.
Special effects. Okay.
He's like, look, her body did. It's a green screen, but look, it's just she evaporated to space. I mean, that's Jurassic Park came out.
Ooh, that would have been cool.
It would. Oh, I thought I was maybe that was true then.
Maybe that's what's going on now with the billionaires.
Yeah, they're all getting shit.
The billionaires are such fucking dicks.
You heard it here first. 2 + 2 = 5.
I mean,
no, actually, that implies that I don't agree with the fact that billionaires are dicks. I was thinking, does he find a new co-founder? Because
ooh, that's a good guess. But no, it turns out Marshall is very comfortable being an extreme narcissist and heading this up by himself. Okay. I stumbled on this, by the way, because I suddenly went, how many female cult leaders have there been? And there's very few. And most of the cults that were started by women are like really stabby and creepy and gross. And this one was kind of adorable until it gets not at all.
Until she dies.
But, you know, and then, you know. Anyway, no, it has to do with the time period and just a tool that he had that they didn't have in the 70s.
Did he try and steal Susie's phone? Is that what it is? Is it like?
Did he become a TV preacher?
Oh, yeah, cable TV access.
Oh, well, it was about broadcasting and reaching the masses. Is it the internet?
The internet, okay.
Existed, internet. And so they were able to brand themselves in a way that they never could just with flyers and just with local groups. So suddenly they had this website up and they could control their message. So they recruited members from all over the country. He takes them all to California this time in a big mansion, and they're all living there. Now it starts to get a little bit darker, a little bit creepier. Marshall advocated for something unusual when it came to sexuality. What do you think that was?
No sex.
Okay.
Oh.
Although he'd probably want to keep the cult going, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Like, you're not allowed to date outside the cult. Like, I'm sure there's a movie, Katie, to go to one of your movies about... That you're not allowed to... Oh, my God, no, it's Pitch Perfect, where you're not allowed to go out with one of the other acapella boys.
Oh, yeah, one of the acapella groups.
Yeah, it was kind of like you're not allowed to have a relationship because it distracts you from acapella. So, is it... Okay. Yeah, well, that's no sex, isn't it? That's what Susie said, so...
In the interest of moving us along, it is, in fact, no sex.
Okay.
He preached... No, yeah, he preached abstinence, and apparently he and Bonnie never did it. Which I think is astounding. Yeah, apparently, I mean, whether that's true or not, or they just used it, that's what they preached. But he referred to her as his sexless partner, which...
Mm. Oh, wow, well, he doesn't have to introduce someone like that, does he? You can just say my partner at a party.
Maybe that's why she left. Maybe that was what she wanted.
Maybe.
Had enough. Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, so
husband, I mean. Yeah,
darkly,
sorry.
these followers were so devoted to him that a few of them underwent castration procedures.
Oh, shit.
To really commit to this value. Now, in 1995, a comet is discovered called Hail Bop, which is also a smash hit song by Hanson.
Stupid dumb bop. Yes.
Heaven's Gate took this as a sign that God was flying his spaceship closer to Earth, hiding out of sight behind the comet. And Marshall declared that all they needed to do was something in order to be finally rid of their human bodies, get rid of the vehicles, and ascend into greater consciousness. The spaceship is coming. What does he tell his 38 followers that they need to do?
Ooh, is it the worst? Is it to kill themselves then?
Is this the Kool-Aid bit?
Hannah George, any advance?
Well, I think, I mean, I'm assuming it's got to be that. I'm sort of quite relieved that there was only 38 people then at the end, because I was thinking that if he's got the internet and stuff, like, you'd think there might be more. But yeah, I'm assuming that's the only way you kind of... I think I remember, was it called Halley's Comet? Hail Bop. Halley's Comet was another one. I think that was like a full name.
They all have to listen to Bop as they're ascending.
It is a mass suicide, and this is why they became... This is why there was such a media frenzy, because when people found out that these people were worshipping in this way, and this was what
the
happened,
result,
it was it was crazy. So in March 1997, as the comet reached its closest proximity to Earth, Marshall and 38 of his followers committed mass suicide, and they lay down in the hopes that they would soon pass through Heaven's Gate into higher
existence. So they all did it on purpose. This isn't the Kool-Aid one, is it?
They all did it on purpose. Are you thinking of Jonestown?
Yeah, must be, yeah.
Yeah.
Jonestown Massacre, yeah.
Because that's when they didn't know.
Yeah, the range of ages for the 38 people, pretty even split gender-wise, which is great, because you want nice representation. And they were all between 18 and 72 years old. Not that that makes it at all okay, but there were no children.
It's a cross-section of the population.
Katie, you alluded to this before. They all wore matching outfits. What do you think they
were
wearing?
Were they wearing trainers?
They all had matching Nike trainers.
Oh,
wow.
Black and white trainers. They wore black t-shirts, sweatpants. It's very 90s. It's so dark when you sit and deconstruct it, and you're like, how sad that these people got drawn in, as it always is, and sort of, really, really bought into this. But it was so, like, it was never too soon, because it was so outlandish. And then you have this visual of all these Nike shoes, like SNL, I think, did a sketch about it like a few weeks later. Like,
really?
It just became still Heaven's Gate is like a joke. Like, you'll see it sprinkled into films, like, all right, Heaven's Gate. Like, it was just such an extreme event. And there was all this speculation, why Nike, you know, is it the slogan "just do it"? And that's what they were all about. But when they dug into it, it was just that they got a really good group discount. It was random, and they just wanted matching.
God, it's a victory.
It's capitalism again.
It's just capitalism again. They also wore armbands which said "Heaven's Gate Away Team," which is apparently a nod to Star Trek, but I don't watch Star Trek. Hannah, aren't you a Trekkie?
No. For the podcast listeners, I did the hand thing.
The Vulcan hand thing.
Not a Trekkie.
The Vulcan hand thing. Yeah,
Dabble in the Trek. I'll have to ask my husband, because he's big, big into the Trek, why that's a nod. And they had a sense of humor about what they were doing. Like, they always walked around with a fiver in their pocket, and apparently that was the fee for seceding from the government or something, and then they had changed to make phone calls. Like, they did all these sort of wry,
winking at their own suicides.
They were kind of winking at their own suicides. It's pretty fascinating. I know. Why were they even discovered? Because they're out in this remote mansion. Why did anyone find out about them?
Well, their families might have been pissed off that they've gone missing.
Families were indeed pissed off, but they didn't know where they were.
Did one person decide, I can't do this, escape?
Blow the whole thing,
Very reasonable guess.
Oh my God, did Marshall not go through with it?
That's a really good guess, but no, he does. And in fact, he was the third to last to die, so he didn't even wait till the end. I don't know what that says.
I would be suspicious of somebody that was like, I'll just go last.
So there wasn't someone who called for help then?
No one called for help, but... Marshall,
was it the internet? Just out of interest, did he post something online?
Well, this is it. He wanted everyone to know about this. So although it was kind of this mixed message of like, we're hush hush and we're safe and nobody knows about us, but I'm just gonna record this speech and I'm gonna write down the doctrine. So
I've got friends like that who just like constantly on the Instagram stories. So if you ever go out with them, you have to like brush your hair, because they will be a picture of you on the internet. It's so annoying. Some people I avoid seeing because I'm just like, I just don't feel camera ready today.
No, you know.
I never feel camera ready.
You know what this was like, Hannah. It's good.
Yeah, I'm not putting on mascara. Goodbye.
They wanted everyone to know what they were doing. And it's hard to say, was that a way of recruiting more people in? Or was it just Marshall's, like, I want everyone to know that I was amazing and I was Jesus reincarnated? So they sent out videotapes to people. So there was an anonymous tip to 911. We since have learned who this person was, and they've done interviews and stuff. But the 911 exchanges caller, yes, I need. So he basically finds out what the address is because he gets one of the videotapes of Marshall. He has a return address, goes to the site. These bodies are found. Yes, I need to report an anonymous tip. Who do I talk to? 911. Okay, this is regarding what? Caller, this is regarding a mass suicide, and I have the address. And 911 just goes, okay, and it goes from there. So there's a media frenzy, and weirdly, so the Hale-Bopp comet is named after the two founders. So poor Dr. Hale, his phone is ringing off the hook because this whole doctrine surrounds us, and this poor guy that's just, you know, discovering comets. Everyone's like, what's your commentary about Heaven's Gate? Did you have any involvement with them? Da, da, da. And he finally has to come out and make this statement. And it's really eloquent and really well done. But the gist of it is like, fuck off. I'm a scientist. Nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
Final question. We come back to capitalism. They were living in a mansion. None of them were employed. None of them were on the books at all. They were paying $7,000 a month in cash to pay for this mansion. So your final question is, how did Heaven's Gate make money? How do you fund a cult? How do you fund a cult?
What was it? All the people online? Was it crowdfunding?
Like crowdfunding? Yeah. Oh, that's a good guess. Good guess.
That's a really good guess.
Were they selling? Well, I didn't quite know what kind of place it was, but were they growing their own vegetables or something?
Yeah.
I think they were really self-sufficient in that way. Yeah. But they had to come up with this cash too.
Oh, gosh. Is it just that? Isn't it?
Hint, they were all nerds. What were they? What service were they providing?
They worked in IT
support.
Basically, yeah, they built websites.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
They built websites and they ran a really successful business doing this. And the business name, just to end on a lighter note, was called HireSource.
Oh, wow. They did have a sense of humor about it.
They did. So interesting case, very dark, I know, but it was fascinating to go back through it because, again, like being young in the 90s, I just remember sort of flashes of like, oh, this is crazy. Oh, this is so creepy. Da, da, da. I had no idea that it had started so far back, that there was this woman who ran off from her family. So yeah, just sort of an interesting story, but here's to the internet because it only leads to good things.
It really connects like-minded people, doesn't it?
It connects like-minded people.
It is good for language. I can end with that.
People bringing us
all down, but it's not. Yeah. So if you're a Bavarian Morris dancer, you can find other Bavarian Morris dancers to hang out with. So that's a good thing. Not that I am one.
They've got their own
language and their own. There's loads of little dialects emerging online. They probably have one as well.
All the shorthand and everything.
Yeah.
All the tribal languages. But also, like now, if you had the kind of personality the way you were like, I think we need a cult, you could actually, you know, just look on YouTube and watch some therapy videos. Maybe you wouldn't need that cult. There's a lot more.
But they are cults, some of them, aren't they? The sort of the YouTuber cults. I guess, yeah, cults can be good, can they? A cult can be a good effort to make it positive.
I know, look at it's good.
You've
it's
got a true sunny podcast.
It's all right.
Cult status is a good thing, isn't it? If you say to someone, oh, you've got cult status. I mean,
yes, if you that's the it. Other use of cult, isn't it? Like, you're not too mainstream. You're just,
yes, it means you're quirky. Like,
you're still edgy. Drunk women solving
crime. Hey guys, it's time for another patron shout out. You can join in on the fun and help us to make the podcast at patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. Alexa, are you going to remind me?
There are no reminders scheduled.
Oh, shit.
I'm reminding you. Shout out the awesome Rebecca Hours and the amazing Martha Barnard.
There she goes.
I'm reminding you. Shout out the awesome Rebecca Hours and the amazing Martha Barnard.
Alexa, thank you.
You're welcome.
So we always finish with the listener crime. We got this a few weeks ago. As a 10-year-old girl, I was doing the usual walk home from school through the quiet Australian suburbs with my best friend when we were approached by a stranger. The middle-aged man was distressed as he explained that there was a bird in his front yard two streets away that seemed injured, and he needed us girls to hurry over and help. The man had an American accent, so he had obviously been overwhelmed by our Australian fauna. Thankfully, I had a beach towel in my bag, so knowing I could catch the bird with it, we diligently followed the stranger two streets away. When we got to his house, sure enough, there was a little rainbow lorikeet sitting on his garden path, so I threw my towel over it, picked it up, and told the man not to worry because we'd take care of the bird. He then just watched us as we walked away. When I got home, I just told my mom, who happened to be a police officer, that I simply found the bird on the way home. It didn't look obviously hurt, but seemed to be in shock, so she called an injured wildlife hotline and the bird was picked up the next day. I never gave it a second thought until recently when someone asked if I had ever had a stranger danger moment. So, drunk women, was I in any real danger, or did an American man really go walking along the streets of suburbia, innocently looking for children to help with his bird situation? Please help. This comes from Jazz Quirk from Central Coast, Australia.
Mm. Wow.
Well, I know if it was my daughter, I would have been like, what? Yes. So it's hard to be objective, isn't it? But on the other hand, he could have been entirely innocuous and innocent and perhaps not too sophisticated.
That's the thing, isn't it? Because it's like he might be completely innocent and
all men, etc.
Hashtag not all men, but also is he oblivious of you know the world that he lives in and how that might look? Or is he like, well, I'm American and they're Australian and we're in Australia, so they have higher status than me because they understand all about the birds and I don't. Yeah. So
if there was any other people on the street, if there was kind of like a man with like big burly bird catching arms, like walking on the other
kids
side of the road.
The first choice. And they,
well, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. He's just like, he's got really good eyesight and is very brave.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go to the girls, then it's better. How old were they? Were they?
They were 10.
They were 10, okay. Yeah.
They were 10, and she said this was 2003, so it's not like this was, you know, the carefree days of 1954, you know what I mean? Not that shit didn't go down then, but you know what I mean. Do you know what I find really interesting about this story is that when she got home, she didn't tell her mum the truth.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah. That's why I think that's what I mean. I think as a mother, you would be immediately, I can't believe you did that.
So she does know something.
Well, I feel like there's just a gut sense that we all have and that she was listening to it, but maybe it just didn't quite add up. Yeah. But it did because she made that choice and that she was a police officer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That she withheld it. And children so often think, well, maybe I've done something wrong when something bad happens. And I just found that bit. If that bit hadn't been in there, I might have been like, yeah, weird American, you know, Australian kids know what to do with these crazy birds. But also that the bird didn't seem to be injured.
Yeah, I agree. That was the only other thing to me is that was that a pretext?
It was a completely fine bird that he'd possibly lured in with some food. Yeah.
So just to go over the bit again where they were taking the bird from him. So
So it says, I went to the wrong part. I'm like, they all wore matching outfits, Nike trainers. No. The man had an American accent, so he'd obviously been overwhelmed by our Australian fauna. Thankfully, I had a beach towel in my bag. Okay, when we got to his house, sure enough, there was a little rainbow lorikeet sitting on his garden path. So I threw my towel over it, picked it up, and told the man not to worry because we'd take care of the bird. And then he just watched as we walked away.
Okay, do you know what? Okay,
inside. He didn't bring it inside.
Mm. My thought now is he was a predator. And he wasn't reckoning on this girl being super confident and knowledgeable. So she's like, I've got this. I've got a towel. Don't worry, dude. So she does all the proper things.
Yeah.
And then he just and watches she gets her out like of there. Yeah, yeah, she gets there. He's like, "Okay, I've approached someone yeah. too confident. I need to find a vulnerable yeah. crying child for my hideous crimes."
But then
crimes.
The bird wasn't inside. So how did he keep it outside?
He put peanut butter on his path or
but
something.
He could have had a whole story as to, you know, can you let's bring it inside or something.
Yeah.
I think basically what he did was stupid. I think we can agree on that, can't we? It was a bit stupid like, just to approach him.
Yeah, I've gone from, oh, maybe he's just innocent to predator.
I was afraid, Drunk Women, that we might land on this conclusion. I was like, maybe we'll just see.
I really tried not to, because I feel sorry for men. It's not their fault that some of them are
just when I say stupid, I mean just sort of like naive then maybe. That's the kind of reading of it.
Reading is naive.
The best reading is naive. The worst is predator.
That he was naive to be like, hey, kids. Susie, we have just enough time to ask, what are you up to? Where can we find you? Is there anything that you would like to plug? For goodness sakes, tell us.
No, honestly, I always find the kind of quid pro quo things just slightly embarrassing. So honestly, it's been a real pleasure for me. If anyone, I've got stuff on my Twitter feed that I'm doing, but honestly, it was really fun. And I'm worried, Taylor, because when I said he was obviously stupid, you looked really startled. So I think
it's because I heard a pan clanging in my kitchen. My husband's on a business trip. My 8-year-old is somewhere and I've making just pancakes. Adopted a greyhound. So I'm not sure who caused the clang. Okay. So that was me going.
That makes me feel better.
Oh, I love that Susie thought she like caused the clang.
So we can find you on Twitter and find out what you're up to.
Yeah. Just lots of lovely fun things. So it's been a real pleasure. I honestly don't
the
want to
pleasure
return.
Was all ours. Thank you for telling us the origin of the word cults. If you took nothing else away, now you know where the word came from. Oh. Thank you so much, Susie Den. It's been a real honor having you on our podcast. Thank you.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.